What's going on, everybody? Matt Grissom, Quint Mills, Nick Hathcote, and Todd Smith coming to you to recap week 9. What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
What's up, Matt?
Not everybody talk at once. Recap, just initial gut reaction, week 9. I know the games were a couple days ago. What was the result that stuck out to you most, Q?
I think A&M. I mean, you didn't really know what they were. I mean, they beat Florida. They pummeled Missouri. But, you know, Nick and I had said, and I think, Matt, you alluded to it too, like, what's this Missouri team this year? But LSU's been playing really good football. I know it was a home. It was a night game. But when Marcel Reed came in, it was a different team. Personally, I think him playing A&M so much better than when Weigman is, there's got to be some conversation with Mike Ucko, like, is Reed just the guy for them?
About you, Nick.
Yeah, I'll go to Notre Dame. I mean, we kind of had questions about them coming after the losing to Northern Illinois, a team we should never get beat by. Now this is a team over the last 5 weeks has looked like we thought they would look. They're actually leading the nation in winning margin over the last 5 weeks. So I think we wanted to see an answer from them after that Northern Illinois. How are they going to respond? Well, it's by just beating the brakes off of everybody they're supposed to, including a couple of ranked wins now. I know people are going to – bad situation because it's either you lose to Navy and everybody's like, oh my gosh, Navy's so good, or you whoop Navy and it's like, oh my god, well, Navy's just overrated as we thought. So it's kind of a tough situation, but I mean, that was a beatdown. And I know people are going to say also, hey, Navy turned the ball over. That's something to do with it though, because you make Navy have to play fast. And it's like, these are like NFL defensive linemen, NFL linebackers that are actually like running fast, and it makes Navy play faster than they're used to. And that's when mistakes happen, and that's kind of when talent takes over. So Notre Dame moving forward, still have Army on the schedule, at USC on the schedule, but I think they're in a very good position to they win out there in.
Toddy?
I think the Navy guy's still up there trying to field punts and kickoffs and catching them. How many times he muffed and couldn't handle a ball. So
I'd be scared too.
You can't turn the ball over 6 times against a good team, and that's what happened there. So I think Friday night was – I think everyone was excited for Boise, UNLV, and I think we thought there was going to be a lot more fireworks in that one than there was. I made it pretty late. I couldn't stay up. It got to about the fourth quarter, and I had team points, and I'm like, oh, I'll wake up. They'll at least be in the 30s, and it was – I'm glad I went to bed because it was the same exact score. So I didn't miss much. But I think a lot of people, and I was one included, that I thought it was going to be a lot higher scoring. But it was a good game, though.
Yeah, Ken, you're Michigan man. Where was all the scoring in the Boise State UNLV in the second half? I don't know.
Do you think – let me ask you this before we move on. Do you think Boise, when they played Oregon earlier in the year, like if they played that, let's say, this week or next week, do you think they play Oregon as well as they did? Like I know UNLV is a decent team, right, but it's still a mid-major. Like when you get to the Penn States, Oregon, I think that score is almost – an anomaly per se than what the actual matchup was, because I don't think, and it's just my opinion, I don't think Boise can maintain that dominance against the top teams right now, especially in the playoffs.
Well, I think it would go hand in hand with, do you get that same Oregon team? Because I think Oregon has really turned it on lately here.
They have, absolutely.
So I think it was a mixture of Boise State still kind of shocking the world with the talent level of Ash and Jinty. And then Oregon playing kind of a slower pace. Now they seem to be able to have that offense going. For me, I'm going to say Vanderbilt. I think somebody forgot to tell Vanderbilt that they're not a serious program, because there were multiple times where Texas, you felt like, okay, here Texas is going to blow it wide open. And I know that the final score isn't indicative. Texas did beat them pretty handedly. But Vanderbilt wouldn't go away. And I think that was a testament to really just how good Coach Lee has been for Vandy, and Diego Pavia. I mean, just continues to make it work. And I know he got hurt, came back in. Vanderbilt is a solid team. I think they need to be taken seriously from here on out. And that kind of goes into a little bit of the week 10 look ahead stuff, because I was looking at the line and here they go to take on a bad Auburn team and they're +6.5. I mean, do odds makers just really not buy into this Vandy team? Because in my opinion, I think Vanderbilt is far and away better than Auburn, and they should win this game outright. And we just saw it with Kentucky game too. Kentucky was a favorite.
I would say this, and this is the week that it's going to tell you. I don't remember if I put it in our chat or another group chat, but I just have this weird feeling, and you said Vanderbilt, but also Illinois. Is this the point of the season where they just fall off completely? Because, yeah, Vanderbilt, if they win yesterday or this weekend, they're still sort of in the hunt for a playoff. But now they have a 3 losses. Like, you've kind of played your season. It for all intents and purposes, it ended Saturday night. Same with Illinois. You know they're not going to be a top 12 team. Like, they really had to beat Oregon. Is this kind of where all that hope and dream, they've been playing on a lot of, like, adrenaline. Does that kind of come back down to earth now and maybe we get the true teams for what they are? Or are Vegas odds makers wrong? I think that's a big question.
I mean, I think it's hard to say that Vanderbilt's going to give up just because they are probably out of the playoff hunt now. Considering their win total at the beginning of the season, I think was 2.5.
Yeah.
So, you know, they want to make a bowl game. They want to make a good bowl game, something to stick the feather in their cap over. So I feel like this team still has a lot of fight left in them. Meanwhile, Auburn's kind of a completely different trajectory. I don't know what they're sitting at. Can they still get bowl eligible? 6-6?
They're what, 2-6 now? 2-5? 2-6?
I don't know.
I'm not sure, actually.
Let me look.
I agree. I think that quarterback for Vandy, that guy's a gamer. He's gonna push that team to try to keep winning games.
What about Illinois?
3-5.
I think I think overall they're just maybe not a very good team.
Yeah, that's what I said on our show. I think Illinois was just kind of fools. We were kind of holding up their win against Kansas as a good win, and we were holding up they had what, 1-point win against Purdue. Like, I just think that was kind of a fool's gold, and we thought maybe Illinois was something a little bit different, but no, this is still your typical kind of Illinois team. They're just not stuck in the mud quite as much as they usually are with Bielema, so it's a little different way of losing, but just still not great athletes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that BYU-UCF line, it got me, and I know Todd tweeted it out too. Like, what happened, man? We got fooled.
We fell for it. Got sucked in. Got sucked into it.
I was able to jump on the 9.5 live, but even me, like, I wanted to take BYU the whole week. I didn't, for the same reasons that you guys didn't. Why do you think that UCF was favored? Now looking hindsight, like, what indication gave Vegas that?
I think Nick brought it up on the last show and just said, I think we were saying, are they that good of a team too? Because they should have lost Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma State's not a very good team, and I'll talk about them here in a little bit. It's not the biggest fan of Mike Gundy right now. But I don't know. I mean, that they just took care of business. And I think with the performance that UCF had against Iowa State, running the ball, the quarterback, Harvey, the running back, had a big game. I think everybody, tough place to play. The atmosphere is usually pretty good. So, but yeah, I tweeted it out. I mean, I fell for it for sure. So I got sucked into it.
Yeah, just absolutely terrible. And I'm going to quit betting on bad teams. I leaned Mississippi State. Arkansas blows them out.
How do we all not hit the over? That was an
hats
over.
Off to that. I just
slapping us in the face. I didn't take it. I don't know if you guys did, but mm-hmm. I should have known.
I said it on the show, though. Arkansas was 4-0 to the under in their SEC games. They had only averaged 17.5 points. So I didn't expect Taylen Green to blow up like he did. Hats off to him. But moving on, here's a new look at the AP top 25. Not really any change at the top. Oregon, Georgia, Penn State, Ohio State, Miami.
When was the last time we saw Alabama at 14?
I know.
It's been a long time. Pretty probably 14 dude. Years ago. Kansas State, that's a team. Matt, you did bring it up. That was a team that surprised me. I thought they were going to beat the brakes off of Kansas. I know Kelly and Vegas did too. Everything said it. Our site said it. Avery Johnson ain't it. I mean, if you're the coach, in my opinion, you got to look for another quarterback. I just, for him being there last year and then this year, like, it's not, I don't know, it's not showing on the field. Get him out of town. Let him go.
How many games have Kansas lost by, like, a point, 2 points, or three? I mean, I was going to look it up yesterday, and I just forgot to do it. But, I mean, it just seems like all their losses are right there every week. What a different of a season it could have been for Kansas.
Yeah, we were all high on them. I think we said, like, 9-3, 8-4 floor. And they're not even going to get 4 wins.
Yeah. Although I did, I took Kansas plus the 10 in a contest.
I added onto my card. I got 9.5 Kansas.
It was nasty. Couldn't believe I was betting a crap team. Shout out Taylen Green, Pro Football Focus. He was ranked the number one quarterback, highest graded. It's going to be a great game. Jackson Dart, Taylen Green, especially if he can replicate that. Now I know Ole Miss's defense is a lot better than Mississippi State, but it's pretty good company there. Heisman odds. You guys doing anything here? Dylan Gabriel, now you're short shot. Did Ashton Jeanty have that bad of a game? Or did they just think, all right, it's over?
Yeah, like, he didn't rush yards for 300
yards.
Yeah, it's a bad game now, not 200 yards.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, what, 138 or something? Yeah, I think that part of it is that was just his one kind of chance to blow up, because that was like, that's the only game. Nobody's going to see him. Like, there's nobody, like, there's very few people who, publicly speaking, are going to actually see him play another game before maybe they're in the conference championship game or the playoff even. So I think that was, I think oddsmakers realized that was just his chance to actually go off and really show these people. I mean, look at Gabriel is going to have big games in front of him. Cam Ward's got most likely Clemson in front of him. Travis Hunter just act like he didn't miss any time. All of a sudden it's back with 130 yards receiving, 2 touchdowns, played every snap on defense, 4 pass breakups. So it's one of those where it's like, yeah, it's Ashton Jeanty is just as good, still going to put up crazy numbers. So it's going to, and it still is going to come down to what we said before weeks and weeks ago. If he beats Barry Sanders' record, which last week put him off of the pace, that's going to determine whether he wins it or even goes to New York. If he doesn't, then yeah, I think he ends up fourth or fifth probably.
Does Travis Hunter even realistically have a shot? Because, like, Jeanty, right, he's potentially breaking a record. Gabriel and Cam Ward, quarterback position typically wins. Cam Ward is on, like, a Joe Burrow pace. And then there's Travis Hunter. Yeah, he's playing, you know, 200 snaps a game. But ultimately, like, yes, it's very hard, but numbers-wise, he's not really putting up incredible numbers. And I say that in comparison to Jeanty, who's, like, on a record-breaking thing. Nothing against Travis. I mean, he's an elite player, but at the end of the day, it's a stat award slash quarterback award. Does he, I mean, I feel like you're wasting your money even at plus 330, even at pizza money, because he just doesn't have the numbers to back it up. And I don't think that just because you play two positions has enough kind of stout behind it.
Happy Monday, Sean. Yeah. And to touch on that, did you see Deion Sanders said, why isn't Shedeur Sanders being considered?
I saw that, but I didn't catch the full clip. Well, because he's not putting up any great stats. I mean, he's okay, but he's not Cam Ward. You know, he's not Dylan Gabriel out there.
Who do they have left? Let's look at Colorado's schedule.
Well, that's the thing. That is if they get to the Big 12 championship, so they need help. Like, if they need BYU to lose, they need BYU to lose. They don't have the who is it? I mean, Kansas State has one loss still, but Kansas State owns a tiebreaker. So that could be one of those undefeated. Where, yeah, Iowa State still. So they need help. If they get to the, say they get to the Big 12 championship game with help, and then he goes nuts, or either one of them goes crazy, that's going to be their probably chance at a Heisman moment. Otherwise, yeah.
They have Texas Tech, Utah, Kansas, Oklahoma State. I mean, there's a legitimate shot that they go undefeated the rest of the way.
Yeah, they miss BYU. They miss BYU and Iowa State off their schedule.
Yeah. That one will be tricky down in Lubbock. That's not an easy place to play at.
Cade Klubnik just continues to climb.
Cam Warden only has, what, Clemson left on their schedule?
Pretty much.
And then, so that's a kind of a walk in the park up until that game.
Yeah. All right, let's look at the college football playoff odds. Oregon, Georgia, your shortest shots, then Ohio State, Texas, Penn State. It's really starting to take shape, I feel like, of what the committee is going to do. Really, it would take a big surprising loss. Like, even if Ole Miss upsets Georgia, I still think Georgia finds a way in at 10-2. I feel like you're going to have a 10-2 SEC team in, whether it be LSU or Texas A&M. Nothing real surprising here. Boise State being the shortest shot for the group of five teams to make it. I mean, that makes sense.
You think a one-loss Pitt can sneak in?
Indiana, that's what I was about to say. So, Indiana, you look at Pitt, Indiana, SMU, Iowa State. I mean, all these teams kind of – they have a shot to go 11-1. I mean, Indiana, to me, at even money, they lose to Ohio State. Okay, they're still 11-1. Do you let them in?
If you're – you got to pick somebody from the ACC, not name Miami, not name Clemson. That leaves SMU and Pittsburgh. Who's the better team?
We'll find out this Saturday. Out this week.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
We get to find out this weekend.
Yeah. Obviously, SMU power offense. Pittsburgh has really good offense this week or this year. Defensively, I got to lean Pitt.
SMU's favored by 7.5.
That'd be dicey.
It is in Dallas, though.
Yeah. So if you're going to take one of those teams, maybe don't bet the game, bet their
sprinkle a little
odds.
Bit. Mm-hmm. All right, college football playoff championship odds to win it all. Anything on here worth looking at? Ohio State plus 450, second to Georgia plus 340. Ken says, calling it now, Indiana is running the table. Do you mean before or after the Ohio State loss?
Yeah.
Then we need clarification.
I mean, Oregon at plus 475. Matt's, you alluded to it earlier. Like, they've really turned the table. Dan Lanning didn't make the Dan Lanning mistakes of last season. It seems like he's learned on them. If they continue to play this football, they can beat anybody in the country. But they have to stay out of their own way.
Yeah, I think you got to look at it. You have to have the approach of who do you think is really going to get in. Because once you get in, kind of things could definitely happen. I mean, so you're looking at Indiana, like Matt said, if they lose once, are you really keeping them out? It's going to depend on, because there could be what, Oregon could have zero losses. Ohio State could have one loss. Penn State could have one loss. So if Indiana is the fourth team with one loss, then their schedule kind of comes into play, which is not very good. So that's kind of the only way. So they will need a little bit of help if they lose. Who else? I mean, outside of, like, I want to see what Iowa State can do, because Rocco Becht is real, like, as a quarterback. He's not kind of, he's, if people are saying, like, he's Brock Purdy-ish, he's not. He's more, like, Brock Purdy, it, like, got blessed with a team where he didn't have to do a whole lot of Iowa State. He's blessed with a team in the 49ers where he's not having to do a whole lot. Rocco Becht is not it. He's kind of the one carrying them a little bit. So I want to see them, like, moving forward, if they can keep that up, because that's a team that should, like, most likely probably ends up with the bye. So then you're talking as a top four seed, you get a bye, then you get a better odds against having a good matchup. You're at home. That place is not going to be fun for anybody in the playoffs to play at Iowa State in January. So, I mean, take a chance on that team, because then who knows what can happen. I mean, talent-wise, like we've said kind of this all along, it's the top four, just kind of talent-wise, and then everybody else. So, but that's why these are such long shots.
Is BYU that good? I was flipping over here to see. They're even money to make it, but they're plus.
I mean, who's their best matchup? I guess Kansas State.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, they can't slip up. It's one of the – they can't – that's not a team that can get in with one loss, I don't think.
I agree. Yeah, pretty weak schedule.
They are a dog, I think, this weekend too. Or are they off this week?
I think they're off. Yeah,
they're off. Then they play at Utah.
I mean, they should beat Utah.
Then they're at home against Kansas.
Yeah, Utah just got beat by Houston.
And then they go to Arizona State.
That could be a tough one. Arizona State at home.
I hope that game's at 11 o'clock at night.
That might be a Friday night, though.
Oh, it might be. I don't 11 o'clock on Friday night. I'll still take it.
That Nick loves these late games.
Nick is really bitter.
I was talking about all day. He wants games on at midnight. Let's go.
Yeah. I do too. Yes. I mean,
it just gives me more games to watch. Like,
hey, I'll say this.
And Nick, that was funny because when I was writing down the games for this week, I got at 8 p.m. and I'm like, where's the rest of the games?
Yeah.
I'll say
I actually went back up the as on scores and odds. Writing down the matchups, and I was like, that's it? 8 p.m.? I'm like, and then when you were talking about it today, I kind of laughed because I thought the same thing.
One of the games I was forever grateful, going home from Michigan, it's early. My old man likes to leave. I don't even think we slept from the game till when we left. Smitty steps over a bum land at the base of the stairs at the hotel. We get in the truck. Hawaii is at halftime, and we're like still – he's passed out in the seat. Smitty always sleeps, so I'm driving, having to stay awake. At least I had Hawaii football to listen to for two quarters. It definitely made the trip easier.
Yeah, that was still on play.
All right, Q. None of us did very well this weekend. No. 1-2. As Nick said, it's getting really hard. We're betting 9 or 10 games, and we're trying to pick the best three to put on here. It's just not been good. But – yeah. JMU, Kansas State, don't get home for you. UConn does by the hook.
Yeah. Ooh. I don't understand JMU. They can look so dominant and then so not. Like, they should have won by 40. Same Kansas State.
Q, I had that Connecticut game on, and I thought you got it at like 7 or 7.5, and they kicked. They had that 100-yard return. I was like, oh, it's going to be one of those Saturdays. Yeah. One of those Saturdays.
The lines are getting hard. They really are. We've said it week by week, like, hey, we're struggling to find a three you like. There was really no games that I loved. Well, I take it back. I loved Kansas State.
I think it's frustrating, like Nick said on a text, that you do okay. Now, I think Nick, if I remember, went 6-4. I went 6-6, but in a second, you'll see 0-3. It's tough when you do okay or you have a winning, but then your best bets. It is hard. It's hard to pick them.
And then for Nick, again, 1-2, you're going to see that's a very consistent number here.
Yeah. Like I said, like, this is my third win overall, third week in a row, like, being positive in the winning, and I just can't pick these three right. It's just one of those – you can say it's bad luck in just picking these three or what, but, yeah, Arkansas State mentioned, like, as I talked about on the show, like, this should have been a layup, and now all of a sudden Arkansas State can't stop turning the ball over, can't get out of their own way. They were up 23-3. At one point, like in the third quarter or something, and just like all of a sudden imploded against a Troy team who I had assumed quit. And then I think they take the lead with like 30 seconds left just to win. So that was an ugly one. Ole Miss, I'm done with for the foreseeable future. So I think I hit them like week one, and I swear I've missed like the last 3 or 4 times I've played them. Their defense, fine. Like, they had 10 sacks against Oklahoma, and like, they got into the red zone. There was 4 times they got into the red zone and got 0 points out of it. And they still won by, I think, what, like 16? So it's like, guys, like, do something. Like, this is the one that should have hit. But, of course, doesn't, because I put it on my top 3. Guarantee it would have hit, though, if I didn't.
Do me a favor, Nick. Bet Ole Miss next week, too. Okay?
Send me the money and I'll do it.
All right, Smitty.
Yeah, Oklahoma State, it looked good. They scored with like 3 minutes and they were covering. And Baylor get a first down and it's probably over. Now what happens? The guy breaks a 55-yard touchdown run with 2 minutes left. So, yeah, good job, Mike Gundy and the guys. Wisconsin, good game. I was entertained by that game. Bad turnover, threw it right to a Penn State guy, pick 6, really changed it. Like Nick said, maybe 2.0 Trace McSorley came in and might be better than the starter, that's for sure. So that was a tough one. And Florida State, Miami, just really slow. I think it finished at 50. I had 54.5. Really slow pace the entire game. I didn't think Miami was really moving.
Like, they struggled to move the ball.
Yeah, they were getting pressure on them. The line didn't look very good. Running the ball a lot. I really thought they were going to put at least 40 themselves on them. And I said on the show, I said, if we can get Florida State's been scoring about 10 to 16 points, and I think they finished with 14. I just thought Miami for sure would get a lot higher scoring games. So yeah, not a good week. I've been doing pretty well, but this was not a good week for me.
That's the second time that I know of that Wisconsin has been well within the number, and then they just get blown out in the last couple quarters. It's really frustrating. They did,
What I was impressed in that game. You know, I talked about the running back Walker. They couldn't run the ball. Penn State just dominated the line. They could not run the ball anywhere, and I was shocked. I thought the kid was throwing the ball okay, and they were moving a little bit on the pass. I'm like, keep throwing the ball. You keep trying to run it. It's just not working. But so good job by Penn State's D line there.
Once again, gonna say the same thing. Just didn't pick the right games to put on here. Notre Dame, rocking chair winner, hit the first half two minus 6.5. But by the time we gave the show out, that 6.5 was gone. Easy win. SMU again. I've made a lot of money off this team. They get up 21-7. You think, all right, they're cruising. Next thing you know, it's taking them stopping Duke in overtime, who went for two just to eke out a 28-27 win. And then I talked about it earlier. Arkansas comes in 4-0 to the under in SEC games, averaging 17.5 points a game. And all of a sudden, the offense just started clicking. Welcome back, Bobby Petrino. Glad you could run the exact same play that you ran against Georgia. That little fake handoff, it's a thing of beauty. I tweeted it out. But in that $500 college football contest that Kelly in Vegas put on, I went 6-1 this week, which moved me up to tied for 52nd place. So need to keep that rolling.
Keep climbing.
Ken says, don't forget SMU blocked a 30-yard field goal. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And also Jennings kept turning the ball over.
Yeah, right? How about I saw that they were the first team since 1970 with a -6 turnover margin and to still win a game. Like, that's
surely wasn't Navy.
No, it was not Navy. Yeah, that's what, when you turn the ball over six times, that's what the score usually looks like.
Yeah.
Not overtime win.
Had a little luck on their side. And then the Week 10 preview. Obviously, the headliner, you've got Will Howard, Ohio State, taking on maybe Drew Aller, maybe Trace McSorley 2.0. We'll see. But number four, number three should be fun. My son had Duke money line. Yeah, it's a bad beat, too, because that would have been plus, 3-1 or something like that?
At least.
Duke, that same Duke team, taking on Miami. We'll see if the Canes keep rolling there. Arkansas hosts Ole Miss. Florida, Georgia, the world's biggest cocktail party. Are they still calling it that? They change it.
For one of the teams, it will be. Yeah.
This world's largest outdoor party.
Yeah.
They had to change it when they had that big fight about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Number one, Oregon Ducks take on Michigan, who looks like a shell of themselves. It would have been a great game last year. Texas Tech, Iowa State, looking forward to that one. Getting to cover Iowa State. We haven't really talked about them much. And then Pitt, SMU, like Q posed earlier, which team gets in? We will see Saturday in the late slate. Nick, it's going to be an early night for you, it looks like.
What are you going to do with your hands?
I might actually go to the Tennessee game for once instead of sitting at home watching all the games at home. So that might end up being the plan rather than watching Stuckey from the Action Network. He named that the Fraud Bowl. So we will see. What Pitt and SMU do, I'll probably just end up catching highlights.
All right. Y'all have anything else to round it out?
Yeah, I did. I did look up Kansas really quick. They've lost by 2, 4, 4, 3, and 6.
They were favored in about 3 of those, though.
I agree with Ken here. I think Oregon's minus 15 right now. I like them. I don't see how Oregon allows Michigan to score any points.
I'll say this.
Michigan is set back 100 years. They're out there, cannot throw the forward pass.
Well, I hate to say it. That guy is the best one that can actually throw the ball down the field.
He is.
I'm not saying it's pretty, but at least he can get it down the field a little bit.
Yeah. All right. Well, that closes us out. We will be back Thursday or Friday for the Week 10 preview show. Until then, for Q, Nick, Todd, and myself, y'all have a good week.